This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 3, Episode 11. As the New York Rangers have won two in a row against the New Jersey Devils and tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. And I have to say, we got 4 out of 4 points that we should have gotten. Have a little bit of an injury issue that we will discuss. But things seem to be trending in the right direction. So overall, I am pretty pleased, but there's some nuance into my pleasure with this team, Andy. So I first have to ask you, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. A good week of Rangers hockey. Like you had said, they've now won 4 games in a row. I was able to go to the Devil game the other night, and I had a great time sipping on overpriced White Claws. And yeah, just even if you were a neutral hockey fan, that game was a lot of fun between the back and forth and overtime, and then a nail biter of a shootout. But good win for the Rangers. Obviously, Kako finally busting out of his slump, Lafreniere getting a goal to kind of also get the monkey off his back, and both of them, you can see, are now starting to put better foots forward. And you're seeing, obviously, we're recording this moments after the Rangers defeat the Montreal Canadiens, so Kako gets his second goal in as many games, and he looks like a new man. And Strom and Panarin actually want to pass the puck to him. And you could see that the Rangers are trending towards playing more the way Gerard Gallant wants them to play. They're actually shooting the puck now, and they end up at least, you know, either out shooting teams or at least staying with them in terms of the amount of shots on goal. And you know, shots on goal lead to more chances. And so who would have thunk? But I'm doing okay. Like I said, there's some things are not where they need to be. But at the same time, this team continues to win, continues to find ways to win, and things are actually progressing along. So definitely a 180 from some of the doom and gloom that was going on when we recorded our podcast last week.
Yeah, there's one thing, though, I have to get off my chest before we move forward. And I want to say it now because I'll be thinking about it all podcast. And I just want to get it. I just want to get it off my mind.
Go ahead.
And that is I am really, really starting to hate the Montreal Canadiens. And it goes back to them thinking that they're like the second best team in the league because they played the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Stanley Cup final last year. And I know a lot of that team has been shipped away, or at least the players that mattered. And, you know, now they're kind of stuck in this limbo where I feel like they walk around like they should be respected, like they're like the Stanley Cup running up team. Like, you played in a joke division of the Canadian division last year because of COVID. You're lucky you made it that far. And now you're sitting at 4-11. You have a minus 22 goal differential, you know, and you're going to walk around like punks and take cheap shots at people because you can't win hockey games. And, you know, players like Gallagher and Anderson, you know, and they're just going to walk around the ice or skate around the ice and act like punks because they're on a losing team. They stink. They're at the bottom of the standings. They had to send Caulfield down. That kid, his feelings got hurt. I just hate this whole organization. I hate the Montreal Canadiens. They're becoming my least favorite team in the league, and that's including the Devils and the Islanders. At least I can respect the Devils and Islanders, and we'll get to the Devils because they're like second right now. And the whole PK Subban, I'm done with him, like slew-footing people, going recklessly into the boards. I'm done with that. He knocked out Sammy Blais for the remainder of the season. But I really want to focus on Montreal right now, Andy. I hate them. I really hate them.
Yeah, I mean, you can obviously see that there's a lot of frustration with that group because, like you had mentioned, after going to the Cup final last season, Shea Weber, his career is put in jeopardy, so he's not playing. Carey Price, who was probably one of the only reasons they made it to the Cup final last year, takes a step away for personal reasons. They're missing their other goaltender. His name escapes me right now. They obviously trade Philippe Deneau And for years, it's just kind of been an up and down thing with that organization and him. I have no idea why they would trade him. It was stupid, but.
No, I think he signed. I think he was a free agent.
I thought, didn't they trade him?
I think there was talks about trading because he didn't want to sign an extension with them. And I could be completely wrong, but because I remember that's what I thought one of the players at the Rangers would be willing to sign. But
you're right. I'm sorry. I'm getting my players mixed up. But no, you're right. So yeah, Deneau.
It was weird because.
Well, I mean, and I will say, all right, so I will amend my statement to say because of there was many rumblings that he was unhappy with his usage during his time in Montreal because he fancied himself a number one center and they clearly didn't see him as such. And they were clearly grooming Suzuki to take his job sooner rather than later. So yeah, it hurts. He's one of the best defensive centers in the NHL. So it obviously stinks for them to lose him. And yeah, that's clearly a group that is now undermanned. They've lost a lot of games and they're frustrated, which is all well and good. But for Gallagher to sucker punch Goudreau at the end there, that's Bush League. And then even in the corner, Anderson just going after Trouba. Listen, I understand you want to show some pushback and some fight. And I don't even necessarily have a problem with Trouba and Anderson getting into it on the boards because, you know, Trouba gives it and the dying seconds, he kind of like goes for a puck and kind of gives Anderson a shiver into his side near the boards going for a puck. So I get it. That's in the heat of battle. That's fine. But yeah, Gallagher, that's a Bush League move. And obviously he's a guy who's frustrated because I think he might see the writings on the wall. He's not getting any younger. And that might be as you want to build off of a season like last year. And now all of a sudden went from like the end of the board game right all the way back to the beginning because they're going to have to, you know, rebuild or retool in the next few years here. Because losing Jesperi Kotkaniemi to the Canes. So yeah, just nothing has gone right for them. And this is after being known as like one of the biggest Stanley Cup final flukes, or at least team of destiny, you know, making it there. So yeah, not happy with them. Obviously not happy with PK Subban, which I'm sure we'll talk about too, because it's just, but I will say that the trend of teams being upset and trying to get in the Rangers' kitchen, I think that's a sign that they're getting pushed around by the Rangers, which is nice for once. Because usually it's the Rangers are getting punked and then they don't do anything about it. Or there's like, you know, one of their depth forwards who's only going to be with the team for one season decides to have a half-hearted fight with someone where they just kind of wrestle around and then everyone claps. It's like, yeah, we stood up for ourselves. But yeah, the Rangers are bringing it to teams and obviously it's pissing teams off and they're trying to retaliate. So at least even though there's some unfortunate side effects to that, yeah, it definitely just kind of shows where the Rangers are at right now in comparison to some of the other teams in the league.
Yeah, and obviously one of the biggest reactionary, I guess I should say, issues that the Rangers face now playing this new style, a little bit more physical, is that when you go into the boards and kind of, you know, be the first man on the puck and being a little bit aggressive, a guy like Sammy Blais goes in, PK Subban, obviously he didn't mean to make contact with his skate, but he nicked his skate enough. And we spoke about this when he, you know, went to the boards with Reeves, that he gets so low to the ice and he's so strong with his lower body that when he does come in like that and hits a player in the skate, I don't know why I just said hit a player, but hits a player, that, you know, it could potentially cause, you know, put that skater in a vulnerable position. And that's exactly what he did with Sammy Blais. And of course, you know, his knee, torn ACL, done for the season. So it's just so frustrating. You know, Sammy Blais has been one of the guys that has been so consistent, I feel, as a New York Ranger. And I was really starting to like his style of play. You know, he was pretty shifty with the puck. He can play that physical style that the Rangers desperately needed. He was a great depth guy that looked like he was going to, you know, kind of solidify solidify the bottom six, which we desperately needed going into this season. And now we lost him for the year, you know, for what? And it's so frustrating and it sucks. And I'm glad we were able to get a win. It makes, you know, that loss a little bit better, but I just know somewhere down the line, we're going to be wishing we had him in the lineup and he's not going to be there.
Yeah, it really sucks, especially because you could see that Blais was, you know, at one point he earlier in the season, because of his struggles, everyone was so upset about the Buchnevich trade that people were apparently tweeting, subtweeting him and tweeting shit at him. So he had to turn off his social media, which sucks. And you could definitely tell the fact that he hadn't had a goal yet was kind of eating at him. But he looked like he was kind of working out well. He definitely looks like what an element this team has desperately lacked and needed in terms of how much he just uses his size to bring it to the middle, but also slow the game down. And the fact that he's so big, he can protect the puck and kind of just bring it to the slot and just create some chaos. So, and throw, you know, devastating hits. So, I really feel for him. He's had injury problems in the past. It really sucks. And obviously, Subban, you can relitigate that as much as you want, but where there's smoke, there's fire, and this keeps happening with him. Already happened to the Rangers once with the Reeves situation, and then you have Tim Peel in a surreal move coming on Twitter today and tweeting like, "Oh, I know PK Subban. I've spoken to him. He's not a dirty guy. He's just lost a step, so he's developed a bad habit. A bad habit." and someone, I saw someone else on social media say it. They were like, "Tim, are you freaking serious? Like, picking your nose is a bad habit. This is guys can ending like could end people's careers and is hurting people."
Even if the
Deneau one was more just a bad accident, because it's like didn't look as it's not like he's like the other ones where he'd go in and he flailed the leg out. Looks like he's turned. It's just but. The fact that he seems to have no control of where his feet goes, and whether you want to say that's, oh, because he's an older player, Andy Green is old and slow. I don't see Andy Green constantly taking guys out the knees constantly. So I don't I just don't want to hear it from people. Like, you're like, well, he did it. Yeah, obviously those other four ones were slow foots, but this one was more of an accident. It's like, well, I can't give him the benefit of the doubt. B, then he needs to learn to control his fucking feet better. You know, it's just, and it's unfortunate.
How he's going into the boards. It's
yeah,
it's
he does it all the time. That foot is wide, like, you know.
He's so wide that when he goes into the boards and he's so low to the ground and he's got so much power. And I know exactly what he's trying to do. He's trying to, you know, create like some sort of base. So when he goes in, he just doesn't like fall over. He needs to be strong.
Or he can wrap up. He's got the option to go either way. If someone tries to roll off, he can at least, because he's slower, he now has a chance to push either way to like wrap a guy up because he's not as fast as he once was. And that's you're absolutely right. That's exactly what he's doing. But
right, and
he's
like,
coming
I understand
in
it,
slow and taking guys out the knees. It's
yeah, it's a tough look, and you know it just sucks. It's like one guy on the team that you know I really liked from the beginning and never really felt like he was, you know, not playing up to, you know, my expectations at least, because, you know, I just wanted him to be that guy that stabilized the bottom six and played physical and did all, you know, did the little things correctly. And that's exactly what he was doing. And he wasn't a guy that needed to show up on a stat sheet. So, you know, losing a guy like that is, you know, people can talk shit all they want. I mean, Sammy Blais has been great since he's been a New York Ranger, and I don't care who says anything different. You know, Andy, I do want to go back and kind of talk about a little bit of the Devils game, and you know, I guess even you know this game too. You know, the Devils, they blew another lead. They won in overtime, which is not ideal in when you're playing a division opponent. You don't want to give them that extra point, but you're able to walk away, you know, with a plus one in the point column against the New Jersey Devils. You know, does it concern you a little bit that we kind of blow leads? Like, I don't know. There's something about this team, Andy, that doesn't make me buy into the 10-3-3 record that we have right now.
I will say this. I am buying into their record. I don't think they're a top flight contender, but they're definitely a team that can make the postseason. I've seen their, for me, the way I've been looking at it as they have been trying to figure out this playing Gerard Gallant hockey. And obviously the first few games were pretty ugly. Obviously the Washington game was ugly. Inconsistent effort in the Dallas game And then they had a nice little run there against some of the worst teams where they were like figuring out how to play more defensively, but also weren't taking too many shots and this and that. And they've been fine. Obviously, they were lucky early with Igor. But since then, they've cobbled together some wins with some more timely goals and just, like I said, good goaltending. But recently, I don't really feel like they're winning. And it's not like goaltending's bailing them out. If anything, I'd say between Georgiev, a lot of the reason they're in these situations sometimes is because, you know, Georgiev, even coming back, is clearly mentally shot. Some of those goals he gave up in the Devils game were pretty much inexcusable. The Dougie Hamilton goal, I don't know how you give that up. And the five-hole goal, that's a breakaway is a 50-50, especially in that. That's a good shot. You have to give, some credit. But
yeah, but even in the shootout, someone online said he had a 10-hole and not a 5-hole.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. But the thing is, the Rangers are winning these games. So, and I think they're, to me, like I said, they've been putting up higher shot totals. They're, Panarin's finally coming around, and that obviously Kako's come on finally. You see it now. They're putting up points, and I think it's one of those things where I'm not expecting them to jump from the Rangers we've seen over the last few seasons to looking like Florida or Tampa at times. I don't need that, to be honest. I just want them to look like a team that's clearly talented enough to make the playoffs, and that's really it. And progression, and they're trying to do, and I think they mentioned on the telecast today too, is that they're trying to bring Kako, Lafreniere, Gauthier, Nils Lundqvist, Keandre Miller. They're trying to bring these kids along and be a contending team at the same time. That's really tough. It's like usually you have one, or the other teams that are doing that are bottom feeders. They're your Arizonas and your Ottawas and your Montreals now of the world that are cobbled together rosters. You know what I mean? But the Rangers are just, they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. And it's kind of hard, and it usually isn't a successful combo, but I would be lying if I said I'm not starting to see the Turk effect take hold. I think they're getting there. I think they're going to miss their details, but overall I've liked their structure a lot more. Especially in, I thought during the Devil game against a really fast Devils team, they were very good with their structure. And yeah, obviously they had breakdowns, and that's what led to the goals against, or, you know, a mental lapse. But I would rather that than just not them clearly not knowing or being able to execute a system. So again, it's crawling along here, James. I think they're getting better and better. But no, I mean, listen, I'm also under no illusions that they are, you know, well,
no, I mean,
yeah, that they're a top flight contender.
Yeah, no, and listen, I have a role to play in my own mind, in my own personal world of being a New York Rangers fan, and I cannot totally buy into this team. Listen, they beat Florida, but Florida was due for a loss. They beat they lost to Edmonton, they lost to Calgary twice, they lost to Washington. Every other team that they played, you could say that they're middle of the pack. I think they really have I think they caught Toronto at a good time. This Toronto team right now that they're going to be playing against is going to be a huge test. I mean, Toronto, I mean, just like Calgary, will make you pay if you're going to have those mental lapses. They will score on every single offensive opportunity that they have. And the Rangers got to be prepared and be able to counter and be able to limit those mental mistakes and those mental lapses that, you know, cause quick turnovers. And, you know, or take a stupid penalty, like even the penalty that, you know, Keandre Miller took today, you can't take against, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs. You can't have that, you know, that being a step behind. So now I kind of have to take a smart penalty in order to make up for it, which, you know, in the game, in the, you know, essence of that game, you know, that worked out. That's fine. But, you know, you cannot do that against Toronto. You can't take dumb penalties. And, you know, if you're going to try to play the same game that you've been playing against some of these weaker teams and, you know, giving up these, you know, grade A opportunities for them to score, or if a goalie lets in a weak goal, we can't afford that. So Toronto has been, you know, one of the better teams in the NHL after they had a rough start. And, you know, I think the Rangers will be, man, they're going to be up for it. I mean, this is a huge test at Toronto. I'm nervous, Andy. I am nervous to see what this team is going to, you know, do in front. And
yeah,
a legit contender.
Yeah, and listen, I don't think they need to beat Toronto. to be honest. It's hard enough to, the Rangers have been winning a lot of games on the road, and they've been on the road a lot. And like you said, they eked out the win in Toronto last time. So, but they have to at least look like they can hang with them, right? Because obviously the Rangers, you know, Toronto was trying to bust out of their slump last time. So they were buzzing last time. And the Rangers, thanks, you know, thank God they had Shesterkin, didn't look all that hot, but were, you know, they were getting opportunistic goals and stuff. So, but so yeah, they just have to look like they can skate. And, you know, hopefully the boost of confidence in some of their younger players really helps them out, and just feeling like they can skate and move their feet more and just start shooting the puck. Because obviously that's the thing with Toronto, is that when they get their feet moving, they're super deadly. But at the same time, when the more you keep them hemmed in and they're a little bit more of a slight team and they kind of wilt against physicality sometime. And this Rangers team is definitely, it seems like they're everyone's getting in on the forecheck a little bit more, and it's really helped them, obviously. So yeah, I guess we'll see. And then obviously the game versus Ottawa on Saturday has been postponed due to COVID reasons, which sucks, because Ottawa's another team that's struggling mightily right now, and it would have been nice to pick up some more points, you know, but we'll see. They'll play them whenever. As we record this, with that victory, the Rangers are tied for first in the league. Yes, they have games in hand, or other teams have games in hand on them, but they're 10-3-3 as of this recording on Tuesday night. It's for 23 points, so that's pretty cool. Is Washington playing tonight? They're playing the Ducks, who are pretty hot right now at 10. And if they lose, the Rangers and the Capitals will have played 16 games, but the Rangers will have been ahead, because the Rangers will have 23 points and Washington will only have 22 if they lose. But obviously Washington has also been a hot team, hence, you know, the top. But we're finally starting to see some separation as I look at the standings and then the wild card. The Islanders just got the shit kicked out of them tonight by the Florida Panthers. They clearly look like a team that is not, they were definitely a bit of a ticking time bomb with their age. And now that they're trying to integrate some younger players, but their older players are older, and Barry Trotz doesn't really trust the young guys, and they just don't have the same, they can't grind it out like they once did. So, and Penguins lost again. So yeah, we're finally starting to see some separation. And what's the old saying, is that if you can be in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving, you're usually in a pretty good, that bodes well for your chances to be in the postseason come late April, May. So hopefully they can keep it going here.
The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. And DraftKings is giving customers free shots at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, throw down $1 on any NHL game, and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, I clicked on the standings and I legit was like, okay, what standing do I have up? Because the Rangers are in one. I got to click on a different one, because they have like the division, the wild card, the conference, and the league. I'm like, nope. What is this, reverse order or something like that? I know. No, it's just bizarre seeing
it. It is bizarre. And that's the thing. I feel like if we brought you and I from when we recorded the first podcast of season 3, or even over the summer, like Bill and Ted style, we brought them here in a phone booth, and they're like, what place are Rangers in? And I was like, well, they're first. And they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it's like, well, yeah, but they're kind of, you know, I don't know. It does not look at their like, and they would be like, what the F is wrong with you? The Rangers are in first place. What is all this doom and gloom? So, I mean, again, it's definitely Chris Kreider remains hot. Adam Fox, even when he has off nights, still is good for three heady, mind bending plays a game. Igor, even he's been looked off tonight, but he still made some pretty good 10 bell saves when he had to. And I think that's the thing. I think as they get more confident here and kind of start believing the younger guys believing, oh, we're not the passengers anymore that just flash their promise, or like the actual guys who have to get in the trenches, but feel they can do that. I just think that this team is going to get better and better, you know, especially they're one of the youngest teams in the league still. And yet here, you know, here they are, they're making their way up the standings. So, I mean, I'm obviously I've a lot of my doom and gloom over the last 2 weeks have slowly trended in a positive direction. And I think we should definitely talk about Lafreniere and Kako now, because obviously most of our podcasts recently have been debating what to do with these two, and were they going to ever start trending in the right direction and bust out of their slumps? And, you know, obviously now it looks like Kako has definitely gotten over the hump a little bit. Yes, it's only two games, but he had 2 points and a shootout goal last game, and then he had a very nice goal tonight. Even Lafreniere looked more noticeable. So obviously it looks like, and Lafreniere got a goal last game. So yeah, it looks like they might be turning a corner here. So that's good to see. What are your current opinions on Kako and Lafreniere?
Okay, Kako. All right, listen, I know Kako has been scoring the last couple games, and he scored a huge goal against the New Jersey Devils. He scored a nice goal tonight. My only issue with him is, like, I need more. He has so many opportunities to score more. To, you know, he made another play, a great play, trying to do a wraparound. Like, I need more of this. Like, every game, he should be this dominant. He's young. He's got the legs. He's now got the strength. He's got two line mates that are willing now to give him the puck. I think he's got some confidence in himself. I would like to string some momentum here, right? And just keep going with that. Get points. Like, even if it's secondary assists, I think this kid is very hard on himself. And if he just sees his name and points growing next to his name, I think it'll be a snowball effect. I think he's that young and that naive to think that if he's not showing up on the score sheet, then he's not contributing to this team. He just needs to, you know, gain a little confidence, feel good about himself. And if he gets some points, I really think he can probably, you know, actually be a second overall pick for the New York Rangers and play like it. So that's how I feel about Kako. I'm not sold yet on him, but I see it. Like, I see the potential. It just needs to get going. I need legs here. If for some reason, if the game against the Maple Leafs gets canceled too, it'll be devastating, because I feel like Kako just needs to keep playing every other night and just, you know, feel that flow, feel that confidence grow. So that's how I feel about Kako. Lafreniere, Andy, I almost feel the complete opposite. I just feel like this kid passes when he should shoot, shoots when he should pass. The one pass he had today, he had basically a wide open, you know, lane to get a really nice shot, even if it was a shot for a rebound, and he decides to pass it, and he passes it like right into a guy's body. And it's just like, dude, like, this is the type of stuff, like, you should know already. Like, you're not a sixth round pick. You're the first overall pick. Like, this is common sense hockey stuff that you should have. Like, this should be basic, you know? I just scratch my head. I just don't see it in Lafreniere at all. I don't.
Yeah, I think he definitely looked better the last two games because he's been invisible. So you're at least, he's doing things.
True.
He's made, so obviously that's an improvement. But you're right. You know, I think in a lot of ways, right now, he kind of reminds me of Kako in his, earlier tenure with the Rangers, in that is, you know, he can't win his board battles yet. He's not strong enough. Not quite fast enough to hit his spots. I think obviously the good thing about Lafreniere is that naturally being a bigger kid and not being as slow of a skater as Kako was, that he can, you know, I think you can see that his brain is advanced enough to tell him where to go. I think that's why he scores all these tipping goals right now. Cause he's not an idiot. He's got good vision. He understands. He's like, all right, this guy's got the puck. I'm going to go to the weak side and I can slam this in, or I'm going to join this, join the rush real quick and go to, like I said, go to the far post, or I'm going to stand to the side of the net in case it goes there. And, you know, you've seen him move pucks to the point and make some outlet passes good. So I think he can do that because he's got good, pretty high hockey IQ. But that being said, I think the game is still much kind of like Nils Lundqvist. I think the game is just still coming at him a little too fast, much like it was coming for Kako. But, my hope is obviously at some point, and who knows if that'll even be this season or if it might be next season, that you'll see the switch go off where all of a sudden he looks more confident taking guys one-on-one. Like, cause again, Kako's first year here, he would try to take guys one-on-one and they'd immediately just say, you know, either shove him to the ice or just poke the puck off him. Cause he's got he was too predictable and he just couldn't process the game fast enough or make decisions quick enough. But now you see him hold on to the puck and just deking guys out of their pants and moving around them because he's much more comfortable playing in traffic. And he's just, he got there. And same thing with Lundqvist. I think he's had his moments where when they're really hemmed in, he panics and he'll put pucks in his backhand and he'll make his outlets way too hard and he'll ice the puck, or he'll just blindly get it out because, you know, the sensors in his head are saying, get it out, get it out, get it out. We've been hemmed in, instead of saying, I just need to take a breath here, hold it on the boards and wait for something to present itself, so I'm not just icing this puck and I'm going to be stuck here another, you know. And I think these things will come. But yeah, I think clearly Kako has turned a corner, whereas Lafreniere, I think this season you're going to see, at the end of it, you're going to be like, oh, you know, he had respectable goal scoring, maybe pedestrian goal scoring, maybe even pedestrian points. But that's only, the only reason is because of his hockey IQ. But I think he definitely needs to get work on his skating again and work on getting stronger, because I just don't see him winning his battles. And like you said, it's just gripping the stick and just passing when you should shoot and shooting when you should pass. And I think that's why they were saying it's like Kako took a shot right off the opening, you know, in the opening shift. And who cares? Just keep testing the goaltender and things will happen, open up for you. But yeah, I don't think he's a few steps behind Kako in the development curve, but hopefully Kako's proof that you can get there. It's just, it might not come all at once.
Yeah. And, you know, I keep in the back of my head, you know, as much as I'm bashing Lafreniere, there's a part of me that's like, well, last year I felt like the last like 10, 15 games that the Rangers played, that was the best hockey that Lafreniere played.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was just, he got a little bit more comfortable and the game kind of slowed down where, you know, teams aren't as, you know, full of energy and, you know, that grind and just being a youthful kid in his first year and, you know, him being, you know, a smarter hockey player in terms of being in the right positioning, you know, maybe he just took advantage of that. So there's a part of me that's like, you know what, let's give it a few, you know, maybe he'll get better towards the end of the season when maybe the game slows down. Because guys are battling injuries, they're just exhausted, they're coming back from a road trip, you're catching a team, you know, in a losing skid, teams that give up because they're out of the playoff. Like, there's so many scenarios that the Rangers, you know, and could be in, and their opponents could be in, that, you know, could change the outcome of Lafreniere's season. For me right now, it's funny because, you know, Phil, who was on the podcast with me when you couldn't make it, Andy, you know, he actually asked a question today and he's like, what are your expectations for these guys? And he's like, what would you want from them for them to not be considered busts? And it was like, well, I mean, I don't think it's that crazy for the first and second overall picks to have at least, you know, 50, 60 points in their third year, them, you know, basically carrying a line, be players that can be game changers and, you know, guys that, you know, they can drive their own line. They don't need a Panarin. They don't need a Zibanejad on their line to kind of, you know, carry them across the finish line. You know, I want them to be those guys. That's what I expect out of a guy that's drafted first and second overall. And anything less than that, you know, I'm sorry, but that's being a bust. Like, I don't need you to be a good third line player that, you know, doesn't get scored upon. I don't want that from my first and second overall picks. I want them to be, you know, what usually those guys are. And I want them to be stars in the NHL. I want them to be the leaders and the impact players on the New York Rangers. I want them to be the next Panarin and next Zibanejad, because we're going to need those guys, you know, at the end of Panarin and Zibanejad's contracts. We're going to need those guys, you know, to kind of fill that void when they're a step or two slower. So that's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll only push back a little bit in that. I just think the one thing is that I think they can be those guys, but I see from some of the elite players around the league now, I see guys that got there relatively soon, and then I see guys that took a little bit more of the scenic route, but have become very, very, very good players, but just took them a little bit longer. And so, as far as Kako and Lafreniere is concerned, I think Kako, it's coming for him. I think if they, as long as they keep him stapled to Panarin and Strome this season, I think it's just going to help his confidence more and more. And I think then eventually you would probably be able to move him to another line if, God forbid, wanted to break that lineup, even though they're finally finding some good chemistry. I think from listening to Lafreniere in his post, I think he's actually trying, I mean, and this is just all speculation on my part, I think he's trying to fit in more than to, I think he's trying to be a team guy more than he's trying to be a Lafreniere guy. And it sounds noble on paper, but I almost would like him to be a little bit more selfish, where I think he's just in his own head, he's like, oh, I got to play within this, you know, whatever, within the system. I have to, like, because I do see him hustling more to forecheck and hit his assignments and stuff and make his outlet passes, which is good, you know. And I think off the puck he's been better than he's been in the past, where he was, especially earlier this season, he was floating a lot, and he's moving his feet more, which is good. But again, I think he's just, it has him chasing things too much. And yeah, I think selfishly I want him to look offensively potent, so I wouldn't even mind a little bit more, not floating, but you know, knowing when to cheat and when you have to, at, you know, really adhere to your assignment, especially if you're playing with guys like Gauthier and Hedl, who are very fast and can maybe cover for some of if you're a little speed deficient. But yeah, again, I don't know. I'm of the opinion, especially with any player drafted, but even you look at some guys it's taken them. Obviously, it sucks when you have, like Lucas Raymond and Dawson Mercer and all these guys looking dynamite right out of the gate. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I don't know. Then I look at people like Aaron Ekblad and Pavel Zacha and all these other guys who it took them a couple of years, or even Nico Hischier, you can make a case for, it took them time to crawl their way up to being the players that they are now. So, yeah, who knows? I hope Lafreniere eventually gets there. I think what you're seeing from Kako now, if he just keeps this level of confidence up and just keeps doing what he's doing, then that should be, yeah, that should obviously be the result for him so far. So I guess we'll have to see. But again, yeah, I can't help but become more positive about this team, just because, again, they're first in the NHL. It's pretty cool. I'm going to just take a second to let that sink in, really, because it's kind of surreal now that I'm saying it out loud.
Yeah, I just, you know, hope we don't become one of those memes where it was like how it's going, and then how it started, how it's going, and then at the end of the year we're like, you know, 6 points out of a wild card spot. The one thing, Andy, I want to just finalize my thoughts here. Sure. I know, you know, on the last podcast, you know, I did the call in questions, and you know, I was calling for the trading of Lafreniere and Kako. I'm not saying that we need to trade them like immediately because they're busts right now. My only worry is that, number one, I am a Rangers fan. So for me to have my heart broken over these two players is not crazy for me to think that that heartbreak is eventually coming. Number two is, I really, in my, like, how I judge them by year three, with this is Kako's third year. And I know, you know, COVID has, you know, happened and that might have, you know, inhibited his growth a little bit. But by this year, he should be comfortable. He should be, a comfortable NHL player and not feel like, you know, he's got to prove himself to play at this level. Like, it should click by now. at year three. So, you know, Lafreniere still does have another year in my own little mental world. But, you know, the one thing after that is, you know, how valuable do they become, you know, on the trading block if you're going to have to move on from them? And that's the only thing, like, I think about, you know. So when I say let's trade them, I am being a little, you know, negative Nancy. But there's a part of me that's like, if they are busts, like, which is not out of the question for them to be busts in the NHL, then we should, like, have to trade them sooner than later. Because I just ripped the Band-Aid off now.
Yeah, and listen, I understand the Rangers' track record at developing young talent is abysmal. They have I forget the last player they drafted that has 60 points was what? Was it a Monty? Yep. Jesus Christ. So, but yeah, you know, who knows? Maybe, if Chris Kreider keeps scoring goals, he's going to have 60 goals, much less 60 points. So, you know, streaks are made to be broken. So maybe they can turn it here. And yeah, I feel like it's coming together for this team. You know, I know we don't have too much more time, but I do want to, I think we should talk about how good Jacob Trouba has been this season, because I think he's kind of been the unsung hero of this team. I really haven't, you know, he's maybe has had one game where I thought he wasn't good. And other than that, you know, Miller's obviously had his breakdowns because he's a rookie, but Trouba has been solid. He's been jumping up in the play and he's been scoring timely goals and he's been beating guys up and he's playing like an $8 million player. Right now, I have if he keeps playing like this, I have no problem with his contract. I never thought I would say that, but he's playing great. And especially when the Rangers are in their own end, I feel like he's probably the best player at killing cycles with his physicality and just holding the puck and just literally muscling guys off. And yeah, I've just loved what I've seen from him. So it's, you know, obviously everyone else is, we've glowed about Fox in this podcast. We've eaten our crow about Chris Kreider and his scoring, and we've talked about Panarin finding his footing. But yeah, I think because you and I have been very hard on Trouba, so I think we should I think we owe it to at least him to say, you know what, he's definitely proved me wrong. I'll say that. I won't speak for you, but he's proved me wrong.
No, and this is what I wanted out of him. Like, I always knew this was there. I mean, we've seen it elsewhere. I mean, he was, you know, at the time, he was like the hottest defenseman on the market, and the Rangers were able to grab him, and we're like, oh my God, we got Jacob Trouba. This guy's going to be a force for the next, you know, 8 years that we got him. And, you know, and it just wasn't there. It didn't happen. And I thought, you know, maybe it was Brady Shea. You know, they had their friendship. I thought they were more concerned about holding hands on the ice than playing hockey. And, you know, Shea went away and Trouba didn't really get that, you know, better. And, you know, and now he's just kind of playing within himself and just being a physical force and playing like playoff Trouba. You know how I mentioned, you know, if the Rangers get to the playoffs, they're going to need a guy like Jacob Trouba to eat minutes, you know, play that grinding style, be able to be physical along the boards, win puck battles, be disruptive. This is all the things that Jacob Trouba can do. He just didn't do it. And now that he's doing it, I mean, you see the benefits of it. I mean, man, I mean, his play, you know, tonight was basically the cause of the Kreider goal when him and Zibanejad went the other way after, you know, Trouba made a nice physical play. It's just, you know, these are the things that you want to see. And you know, hopefully Gallant is able to kind of coach that out of him and kind of, you know, get him back to the Trouba of old. Because when Trouba's playing his best hockey, he's certainly worth the money, you know, that we signed him to. So that's definitely a good sign. And, you know, we're definitely going to need him because, you know, the Rangers defenseman, you know, you could say, obviously, you don't have to worry about the Fox-Lindgren pairing. But, you know, him and Miller, you know, Miller is going to still have growing pains. You know, I think he's done a tremendous job so far, but, you know, we need Trouba to kind of be that, you know, that safety net there for that second pairing. And then, you know, we can worry about the third pairing later. But, you know, yeah, all good things from Trouba this year. He's definitely playing the best hockey in a New York Rangers sweater.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, so I guess, like you said, a tough task on Thursday against the Maple Leafs. I guess with Ottawa game canceled, what's their next game after that?
I think they have they play on Sunday. I think they have the Buffalo on Sunday.
Buffalo just won tonight. They beat the Penguins.
Yeah, beat Pittsburgh. Yep, 2-1. So, you know, again, a team that, you know, obviously is overachieving right now. But, Andy, so important, so critical, especially if you lose to Toronto, which, you know, it's to be expected. You got to bounce back and get a, you know, win at home against Buffalo, a weaker opponent that's going to be at the bottom of the standings. Because then the next three games, you got the Islanders, Boston, Islanders. And, you know, those are going to be a tough challenge. Three games in a row, two on the road, one, you know, at 1 p.m. on Thanksgiving. So, you know how the Rangers always struggle at those 1 p.m. games, especially against the Flyers, which always seem to have those games. But, you know, a little Thanksgiving 2 points would be nice. So. But yeah, no, you gotta, you know, be competitive against Toronto. Game against Ottawa was postponed, and we gotta get a win at home against Buffalo.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.